Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Chav Tes. Be'ezus Hashem, we're going to finish off the beautiful second perek, Hayoshin Tachas Amita. Now, we begin on Chav Tes Omid Aleph, about 7-8 lines down from the top at the two dots. And we quote the Mishnah, Yardu Gishamim. The Mishnah said that if it rains significantly, and we'll define today what significantly means, a person is allowed to leave the Sukkah. So what does it mean, Yardu Gishamim, of a significant nature? So Tanu, we learned in the Raisa, Misha Tisra Hamikfa Shel Grisin. If you would have a pot of food known as grisin, which is usually translated as some sort of a porridge, so then if it would ruin that pot, Rashi points out that that pot is specifically very quick to go and become spoiled with water. So therefore, Rashi says, "Mimaheris lekalkel b'gishomim at." It would even get ruined with a little bit of rain. So therefore, it's a very small amount of rain, enough that would ruin this very easily spoilable or ruinable type of porridge. So then, in that situation, you're allowed to come inside. You're considered mitzar. Abaye was once sitting in front of his Rebbe Rav Yosef in the sukkah. Again, metaltala, we said many times, stands for the tzel, which means in the skach, in the sukkah. And noshav zika, a wind came, and komaisi tzivusa, and it went and blew off some of the skach into their food. Rashi says that tzivusa is kismin, like little splinters of the skach, hayomeshir alamaychel, and it came down and rained on his food. Now, it was a very small amount. But Rav Yosef told all the Tamidim, Amalu Rav Yosef, Panuli money mehocha, take me out of here, bring my money, my utensils out of here, and bring them into the house. I'm leaving the sukkah. Abaye questioned this. Amalu Abaye, Rebbe, he says, Ha Tanan, we learned it on Mishnah, and in this Braisa, Misha Tisra Hamikva, that it has to be enough rain that would fall down, that would go ruin your dish, and these little bits of pieces of schach, they wouldn't really ruin your porridge. So how come you're going inside? So Rav Yosef said to him, it depends who you are. Ledidi, for me, a person like me, kivan danina daitai, I'm a very, very sensitive person, and therefore for me, this is considered very significant enough to make me choke on the food. I wouldn't be able to eat this food. So therefore, kimi shetisra chamikvo domili. For me, this is as if it ruined the food, and therefore that is permitting me to be called a mitzar, and I leave the sukkah. And that is the halacha l'maisa. If a person is truly mitzar from something, even though other people might not be, so he's put him in a sukkah. Tanur Rabbanan, we learned another rice. So hayochel b'sukkah v'yardu gishamim. If a person was eating in the sukkah, and the rains came down, v'yarad, and he leaves the sukkah and goes into his house to finish off the rest of the food, the rest of the meal in his house. So the halacha is, in matrichin also lalos ad sheyigmor sudoso. In the middle of the meal, he started eating now in his house. He already started in the sukkah. It started to rain. He goes into the house, and now it stops raining. So even though he could theoretically go outside to the sukkah, we're not talking about whether there's drops coming down from the schach that makes it still like it's raining, but he could go out to the sukkah. It was a very quick shower, and it didn't really get his schach wet, and he could go back outside, but we don't force him to, in matrichin also, we don't trouble him to go back outside, lalos at sheyigmor sudoso. He's allowed to finish that meal. No, for the next meal, he'd have to go out to the sukkah, assuming the sukkah is dry enough that it wouldn't ruin his porridge if the rain from the schach fell into it, the drips of water that were there dripped into his porridge, so then he'd still be parted from the sukkah. It's interesting, the lashon that the Gemara uses, it says v'yorad min ha-sukkah, and then lalos to the sukkah. So we see that going up to the sukkah is an aliyah. The sukkah is a tremendous mitzvah, very, very important mitzvah. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us that this mitzvah of sukkah is shkula, can they call a mitzvah shkula? Right at the very beginning, Daf Gimel of sukkah tells us this important idea, the Daf Gimel of Avodah Zarah. And therefore, this idea of going down when you leave the sukkah and going up when you go to the sukkah is an important hashkafic idea. Then we learned another din in this bright, so hayoshin tachas sukkah. If a person was sleeping in the sukkah, and then it started to rain, v'yardu gishamim, v'yarad, and he leaves the sukkah and goes into his house. Likewise, similar to the food, ematrichin also lalos ad sheyar. We don't make him go back into the sukkah if he's sleeping in his house. The next time he'd have to go back would be when he is sheyar. The Gemara is going to now ask, what does it mean, sheyar? The way we have expelled in our Gemara right now, it comes from a lotion of or, until it's light. So what does it really mean? Does it mean till he wakes up, which is with an ayin, or with an aleph, that means till it's light? So Yibalu, they asked this question in the base of Medrash, right? They just heard this, shat sheyer, and they didn't know if it was with an ayin, aleph, or an ayin. So ad sheyer with an ayin, or ad sheyer with an aleph. The difference is, again, sheyer with an ayin means till he wakes up. So in other words, if he wakes up in the middle of the night, he'd have to go back into the sukkah. We don't have to wake him up, but if he wakes up on his own, he has to go to the bathroom, he just gets up. So then he'd have to go back into the sukkah if it stopped raining, and again, there's nothing dripping down on him from the schach. So then, according to this concept, that it's only until he wakes up, so then he'd have to go back in the sukkah. Otherwise, if you say it's with an aleph at sheyer, it means until it's olos ha-shachar, until it's in the morning, until the light comes up. So which one is it? What does it mean when we say at sheyer, with an aleph or with an ayin? More says, let's try and answer this question from the following braisa. Toshma, we learned in the braisa, ad sheyeyor v'yala amud ha-shachar. The braisa says specifically both ideas, ad sheyeyor, which is with an aleph, and v'yala amud ha-shachar, which is when the light comes up. Now, it seems to say both of them. So obviously, Tarti the Gemara says it means both of them. Which one is it? Is it till you wake up, or is it till the sun comes up, till the dawn rises? So Gemara says, Ella, Ema, this is the way you have to read the Raisa, Ad Sheyeo, with an ayin, V'yala Emor HaShachar, until you wake up and it is light. So Rashi brings down that you need both of them. In this situation, you need Tarti Ella. Rashi says, Al Korchach, Sheyeor Ketani, it means with an ayin, which means, V'alchi Komar, Ad Sheyeor, Mishiyala Emor HaShachar, it means that you don't have to get back into the sukkah before dawn. Okay, once it's the next day, then you have to go back into the sukkah if you want to sleep a new sleep. Lafuki im hekis mishinosa balayla, as opposed to if you get up in the middle of the night, you don't have to go back in. They matrichin. We don't force him to go and trouble himself to go back in the sukkah, waking up in the middle of the night. And likewise, even v'imola shachar, it's still dawn, but he's in bed. He didn't wake up. Alone here. So then, eim ekitzin also, then we don't force him to get up. So that is the halacha. Mishnah is quoted and it says, Moshul Lama Dovedomer, if it rains on Sukkot, to what is this comparable to? So he said it was an analogy of a master being served by his servant, his attendant, and the attendant brings him a cup of wine, it gives him a jug of wine, and he throws it back in his face. So Moshul says, that's not necessarily clear from the wording. So they ask, Iboilu, does it mean me, Shofach Lemi? Who spilled it on who? Did the master pour it back, like I said, onto the servant, as if I don't want your servitude to me, or was it the servant that didn't do it properly? He didn't dilute the wine correctly. So when it says Toshma, the Brisa says Beferish, like we've been understanding it. The Tanya says in the Brisa, Shofach lo rabo kiton upon him. It's as if the master says, I don't want your service, and I throw it back in your face. This jug of wine that you gave me, I return it and throw it back at you because I don't want you to serve me. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is displeased with the Jewish people, and he says, you want to do mitzvah to me? That's not what I wanted. I wanted you to serve me properly, and don't think you can get away with doing a ritual over here without being Erlicha Yidden. Okay. Gemara continues, Tana Rabban, we learn in the Brisa, Bizman Shacham Aloka, when the sun is damaged, it's hit. Now, what does that mean? So, there are a number of different interpretations. Some suggest that it means like a solar eclipse. Others mean that somehow the sun is dim. Maybe there's some sort of a dust storm or something. Whatever it means, that the chama is loka, the sun is hit. So, this is simin ra l'chol olam kulam. This is not a good sign. So, let's use the term eclipse over here just because it's easy to use. So, when you have an eclipse, it was a bad sign for the world. Marshal l'madav adom. Again, what is this comparable to? A nice marshal. So, l'melech basav adom, to an earthly king. Sha'asa suda l'avodav. He made a big suda, made a big feast for all of his people that serve him. L'avodav. V'niach panos lifneim. And he put a light out for them. Now, panos, Rashi says, is like a lantern. He uses a foreign language word that means a lantern. It's basically a flame inside some sort of a glass structure. Okay, so he puts out a light for them. And then what happens? Kosalim. Unfortunately, they didn't serve him properly, and he gets angry with his servants. The Amar Liabdo, and he said to one of his servants, Tol Panos Mipneim, go remove that lantern from them, Voshiva Machoshech, let him sit in the dark. In other words, he's displeased with them, and therefore he's punishing them by taking away the light. So similarly over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to the human race, I'm not happy with you, so I'm taking away the light, I'm taking away the sun. Tiny Rilin and Bryce, Rameir Omer, calls man Shemi Oros Lokin, whenever you have the Ma'oros. The Ma'oros is a difficult word to translate. Literally, it means the stars. So, whenever you have the shiny bodies in the sky that are lit, so when they are Loke, when they're hit, in other words, when there's some sort of an eclipse, when they're no longer visible, so that's Simon Ra, the Sonem Sheyso. That's a bad thing for the Sonem Sheyso. We know throughout Shas, Sonem Sheyso is a euphemism for the Jewish people. We don't want to say it's something bad for the Jewish people, so we use a euphemism. We say it's bad for the people that hate the Jewish people, but it really means us. It means that it's bad for the Jewish people. Why? Because we are used to, unfortunately, getting hit. Throughout our long and sometimes tragic history, we've been punished many times by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. A parent who loves his child disciplines the child, makes sure that the child is going on the right derech. If a parent sees somebody else's child doing something wrong, they say, Nishkefel, it doesn't bother me. You know, let their parents worry about it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't punish the rest of the world the same way he punishes the Jewish people. And therefore, we're constantly under the gun. We're constantly being watched by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're used to Nebuch getting these blows, getting these lokin. So therefore, this is a bad sign for the Jewish people. Marshal Lusofer, this is an example, a parable over here for a Tosofer, a teacher, Shabbola Beis HaSefer, that he comes to school, Uritsua Biyodo, it comes with a strap, right? When we were growing up, it was, I'm not saying it was okay, but it was common that sometimes a Rebbe or a teacher would give a kid a patch. Today, that's inappropriate, and again, different generations, it may be appropriate. We have the famous rule, spare the rod, spoil the child, so that may not be politically correct or even appropriate today. But at various times, it is appropriate for a discipline to be provided. Obviously, in this generation, the great Rav Volbi Zatzal, who was the great Machanech par excellence, said we don't hit children today, and that we obviously need to love our children more today because it's more difficult in many ways for them. And anyway, there's not a shiur on how to be Machanech properly, but it's a marshal for, in the olden days, certainly, if the teacher came to school with a strap, he came with a whip, so then, me doeg, which of the kids in the class got worried? The ones, Mishiroga, Lukos, Bukhoyom, Vyom, who doeg? The kids that got punished often, so they're the ones that get nervous when he comes in with a strap, because they're the ones that he loves, they're the ones that he cares for. The kids that don't get whipped, they're the kids that the teacher doesn't care about. The teacher says they're not worth wasting my time. I find the same idea with the Nochash HaKadmoni, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished Adam, Chava, and the Nochash, so he told the Nochash that, get out of my sight. You'll have dust, you'll have dirt to eat wherever you go, and you never have to come on to me for anything. And I don't want to be anything involved with you. I don't want to deal with you. That's a punishment that's even greater than the punishment of Ve'etzim Til Libanim, that you're going to have children with great difficulties in childbirth, or that you're going to have to go work very, very hard to go make a parnasa. So therefore, that's a much kinder punishment. That's, I want you to have to deal with me. I want to deal with you. As opposed to, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't punish somebody, it means obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no interest in that nation. Okay. Mark continues and says, Torah Rabbanan, we learn the following brisa, Bisman Shacham Alokeh, when the sun is hit, so then Simin Rali of the Kohanim, that's bad for the Goyim, because they use a secondary calendar, so there's more of a negative for them. Levana Alokeh, but if the moon is eclipsed or struck, so then Simin Rali Sonem Sheyisrael, that's bad for the haters of the Jewish people, which again is the euphemism for us. So the sun is more of an idea of the secular world, the Goyish world, which follows the secular solar calendar, and the moon represents the Jewish people, represents more the lunar calendar people. Now, why is this so? Because it says Befeirish there. We count by the lunar calendar, although we have a really combined solar and lunar cycle. When we have a leap year, an extra month of Adar, that really is to reconcile the solar calendar with the lunar calendar. In any event, in general, the Goyim, they follow the solar calendar, and we follow the lunar calendar. Now, in addition, if the sun, which represents the Goyim, and if that is hit, so it depends where. If it's eclipsed or hurt, hit in some way, whatever this exactly means, in the eastern side, so that's Simin Rali, Yoshe Mizrach. That's bad for the people that dwell in the east, that live in the east. But Marv, if the sun is somehow Loke, is hit only on the western side, Simin Rali, Yoshe Marv. That's bad for the people that dwell in the west. Fine. M Sarakia, if the entire sun, or most of the middle of the sun, is hit, it's Loke, so then Simin Rali, Hololoko. That's bad for everybody because everybody is in the middle. Pun of Domin Ladan, if the face of the sun somehow was Loke, then it looks in a bloody reddish color. So then, Cherub Olam, that represents the sword coming to world, sword representing blood, and that's not a good thing. Lasak, if it's Dome to Sak, Sak Rashi tells us, is Asui Minotza Shalizim, this is from goat's hair, Fudoma Lishachar, and it's a darker color. So if the sun becomes darkened in some way, so that represents, or is an analogous to Chitze Rab Olam, just like a person, Rashi says, a chakra pun when a person is hungry, so his face becomes sallow, his face becomes darkened, so then this is analogous to when the sun becomes darkened, that there will be a famine in the world. Lazu v'lazu, if it's both red and dark, so then cherev, you have the sword and the chitzei rav and famine, by lolam, both nebuch of these things will come to the world. Lako b'chnis also, the first way we understand this is if the sun is hit, whatever this exactly means, this eclipse occurs towards the end of the day when the sun is about to set, that's called Bichnisasa, when it goes in behind to its place where it stays when it's, quote, not visible. So Peronus Shoha Lavo, that means that the troubles are going to be delayed in coming. As Rashi explains in this situation, Kederech Sheshoah Hasimin Laharos at Kalos Hayom, since this didn't occur, this eclipse didn't occur until the end of the day, so too it means that the trouble, this paronius, this bad thing, will also be delayed in coming. However, Vitsiyasa, when the sun comes out in the morning, the sun rises in the morning, and that's when it's Loke, so that implies Mimaharis Lavo, that it's going to come very, very quickly, just like the sun came out, and right away the trouble started, so too, the paronius is going to come very quickly. That's the first version that the Gemara says. However, Yeshomim brings out an alternative opinion, a Yeshomim that says Chilav Hadorim, it's the exact opposite. If the sun is Loke when it's about to set, so that means, whoa, it's about to set. And we thought we were okay. And then suddenly something happens. That means it's going to happen immediately. As opposed to if it comes up in the morning and it's Loke, you got all day that the sun is still out. So it means that it's going to delay the trouble in coming. Exactly opposite, 180 degrees opposite the second pshat from the first pshat. Then the Gemara continues and says, She'ain Eloheha. This is a lotion of Chol. Lo kima. Rashi explains Eloheha are the Sar, the Malach of the each nation. Each nation has its Malach, and there isn't a single nation that is attacked on this world that's located somehow damaged or hurt on this world that its Sar, its Malach in Shemaim is not also located with it. And this is based upon the pasuk Shenemar. It says, "Uvuchol Elohei Mitzrayim Eseh Shvatim Ani Hashem." So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is attacking, so to say, the Elohei Mitzrayim, the gods of Mitzrayim, which means again the Sar or the Avodah Zarah that they thought were gods. The Gemara continues and says, "When the Jewish people Baruch Hashem follow what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, we go on the Derech. Ain Misyarim Mikolelo. But then we have no fears whatsoever from any of these eclipses, any of these things. Yisrael is Lamala Min Ateva, and we are not in any danger when any of these natural events occur. Whereas they may be considered otherwise if we're not following what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, ominous portendings of the future. So." At the time that Yisrael is osim, it's on Shemokum, ain Yisrael mikolelu, we don't have to worry about any of this. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Kom Hashem. Hashem said in Pasuk in Yirmiyah, El derech ha-goyim al tilmodu, that don't learn from the goyim. Umi osos ha-shemayim al tichosu, and don't be afraid of what's going on in the Shemayim, the astrological findings. Ki yichatu ha-goyim heima, that the goyim have to be afraid of them, but you don't have to be afraid of them. And that's what the Gemara says. Ov the kochavim yichasu, the goyim have to be afraid of these astrological phenomenon, vein Yisrael yichatu, but the Jewish people do not have to be afraid of them. Tana Rabbanan, we learn the Braisa, Bishul Arba Dvarim Chamaloka. There are four things that people do wrong that causes the sun somehow to be hit. Again, causes this eclipse, whatever it means exactly for the sun to be hit. Number one, Al Av Beistin. When you have the head of the Beistin, Shemesi Nebuch passes away, the Eino Nisbad Kalocha, and he isn't having a proper hesped for him. Now, we saw this, unfortunately, when Shaul died, he wasn't given a proper hesped, and ultimately there was a problem because of that, and David HaMelech was masped Shaul himself. But when the Av Beis Din dies, and he's not given a proper hesped, it's basically saying the Klai Yisrael doesn't really care, and the Av Beis Din represents the sun, so therefore you don't want to take care of the sun properly, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, I'll get rid of the sun. The second thing that brings about this loka, this hitting of the sun, is Al-Nara HaMarasa, Nebuch, a girl who is supposed to be married, who's raped, Shutzaka Ba'ir, and she yelled out, help me, help me, help me, Vimashila, and nobody came to her help. So therefore, we are punished. All of Kaisel is punished. You don't want to help this girl, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't help us. He takes the son away. Yalmishkav Zohar, right? It's not politically correct to say this, but unfortunately, it is a basic din in the Torah that Mishkav Zohar, homosexuality, is prohibited min HaTorah. And it's not a pejorative statement against anybody that has those feelings. And in fact, if a person has those feelings and doesn't act out on them, he's the greatest tzaddik in the world because it's so difficult. And we're not minimizing the difficulty for somebody that fails the test. But at the same time, we have to understand that it is Aveira. And therefore, because of Mishkav Zohar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes and also sometimes is loka at the sun. And finally, the fourth and final thing is Ashnei Achin Shenishbach Dom Kiachad. If you have two brothers that are Nebuch killed at the same time and no justice is done. Rashi says he doesn't know exactly what this is referring to. He says, for all these four things, Lo Shamati Tam Badover, I don't know exactly why these four things specifically are keneged the sun, what they represent. In fact, we actually had learned earlier that the sun represents the Umos HaOlam, and the moon represents us, so there's obviously some sort of a stira or some sort of a reconciliation that needs to be made between this brisa and the earlier brisa. Then the Gemara continues in this brisa, and it says, "Bishvil arba dvarim ma'oros lokin," the other shiny objects in the sky are hit or are damaged in some way, exactly what this means, are eclipsed in some way because of the following four sins that people do. Number one, akose plaster. Rashi explains that kosei plaster is when you write shtaros mizuyofim, you write false documents, or mekasve amal l'shum dofi al odom lichto bishmo mashlo tziva. And these are specific false documents that they're saying that so-and-so said to do this when so-and-so really didn't say to do this. So that's called kosei plaster, falsified documents of a very specific nature. Likewise, b'amidei edu sheker, if you have other documents or people that just give false testimony outright about a financial matter, that's another thing that causes HaKadosh Baruch Hu to get very mad and cause these ma'oros to be loken. The third thing, I'm a godly behemoth daka b'Eretz Yisrael. Now that I raise small animals in Eretz Yisrael, because small animals are going to go and encroach upon other people's crops and eat them, and therefore, at the time of Yeshua, when he came into Eretz Yisrael, so they said, do not raise small animals in Eretz Yisrael. And if you do that, so it causes damage to other people. So Kosh Baruch says, I'll cause damage to you by having these ma'oros loken. And finally, it says, Akotse Ilanos Tovos. If people cut down fruit-bearing trees, that's called Ilanos Tovos. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you fruit-bearing trees, and you don't like them. You cut them down. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, I'll stop giving you these things by having the Ma'oros Lokin. I'll cause damage to you by destroying or eclipsing in some way these stars. The next thing in the Brice, it says, Bushalar Bodvar, the following four things, Nichse Bali Batim Nimsar Lamalchus, for these sins, the property of Balabatim, for people, is given over to the Malchus. The king takes it inappropriately. Number one, Amashe Shtaros Purim, for people that go and keep paid up IOUs in their possession. They tell the person who paid it back, oh, I'm so sorry, I lost the IOU, and I can't give it back to you. And they're hoping that when they give the receipt to that IOU, that the person will lose the receipt. As soon as they hear that he lost the receipt, they'll pull out the IOU and say, ah, you never pay me back. So that's called Mashe Shtaros Purim. You shouldn't hold on to them. You should either give them back or you should rip them up if you find them later on. Yamalvi Beribis, people that go and lend money with ribis. Now, you're not allowed to lend to a Yid with Beribis. Shem Malavin, Balibatim, Lisrol, Beribis, that's an issue in the Torah. And therefore, you're doing something that's terrible, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish you by taking your property away. You try to take his property away inappropriately, his money away inappropriately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take your money and property away from you. We turn to Chavtesa Mibes. Thou Shahiya Safek Biyodim Limchos Vlomichu. These Balabatim had an opportunity in their hands to protest when people did something wrong, Vlomichu, and they didn't protest. Rashi says that they had a chance to protest against various Ovri Averos, Shebidorum, in their generations, Shedivrem Nishmayim Machmas Oshram, because people would listen to them because they're a chosh of a people. And therefore, Avabrios Yireimahem Vlomichu. So the rich people in the community, the Gevirim in the community, if they don't protest what the people are doing, well, then they're held accountable because the people who are doing the sins would have listened to them because they're chashuva people. Finally, the fourth reason, the asher poskim tzedakah barabim, the people make big pledges in the shul when they have an appeal, they don't nosten, and then they don't give those pledges. We see elsewhere the Gemara in Brachos tells us when people make pledges, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and don't fulfill them, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings clouds and it makes it look like it's going to rain, and then he doesn't bring the rain. Similar to them, they make big pledges, the tzedakah or the person who needed the money feels they're going to get a lot of money, and then they don't get it. So again, people who need rain, they see lots of clouds, they assume it's going to rain, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't bring the rain. So here, these four things are all causing people to lose their property. And the word concludes and says, Amarav, Mishalai Bar Dvarim, Nichse Bali Batim Yosin Latimyon, that the regular Balabatim are also going to lose their property. It's going to go to Timyon. Rashi says, Shenit Mamim, Mechol Me'alem. It's going to go away. It's going to get destroyed. It's going to be gone forever. On account of what four things? So Rashi says, Akov Sheishchar Schachir, they have people that they hire to do work for them and they don't pay them. There's a halacha, you have to, you're not allowed to be low tolin, Pula Schachir at Boki. You have to pay people during that day. If everybody's agreement that you're not going to pay them, you pay them weekly, you pay them monthly, or they agree, says, no problem, you'll pay me tomorrow, I don't want the money right now, or whatever the situation may be, then it's allowed. But otherwise, you have to pay a worker the same day or the same night, depending on when they're working. So that's number one. Val Oshke Schar Socher, the people who take the money from their workers, they don't, never mind not pay them on time, they don't pay them at all. As Ashi says, Lagame, Gozel Schar, instead of just pushing them aside and paying them late, they don't pay them at all. Number three, Al Sheparkin Ol Me'al Tzavarein, V'Nosin Al Chavarein. Instead of them doing certain obligations, they take them off their back, they don't do it, and they give it to somebody else to do their things that they needed to do on their own. So they're dumping on their friends. So that's also a reason that they should be punished and all their property is going to go to waste. Al Gassas Aruch, and on arrogance. If a person is an arrogant person, so there's no good that can come from that, and they'll eventually lose all their money. Because usually the people are arrogant because they have money. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you're arrogant and you don't do the proper things, the other first three things, and you're arrogant about it, so then I'll make everything be taken away from you. And the Gemara concludes, the Sefer Lishmo B'Limudim says, we want to conclude this beautiful parak on a positive note. So it says, Avo Ba'anovim, the opposite of the arrogant, the people that are humble, the people that are machnia themselves, they're anovim, they say that I'm a gurnish, I'm a nothing. So then it says about them, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Ba'anovim, the humble people, Yirshu Eretz, they'll be zoche to have all the property in the world come to them as an inheritance, Bis Angu Al Rov Sholom. And they, in fact, will go and find lots of wonderful things, Tanugim, much Tanugim, and they will have Sholom. And we know that there is no such kli that's machzik bracha as Sholom, the best thing in the world. You ask anybody, what do they want? They just want peace. People don't want fights in the family. People don't want fights with their community. People don't want fights with anybody else. All Klal Yisrael wants to do is sit in peace in Shalva. That's what Yaakov Avinu said. I just want to sit and not have all these fights. And that is the greatest bracha. And who will be zocha to that? The people that aren't arrogant. The people that are novim. They'll be zocha to these wonderful, wonderful things. Hadron Alecha Yoshin, Hadron Alecha Yoshin, Hadron Alecha Yoshin. Now, I know it's only halfway down this Amud, and I'm not known for stopping short, but I think that starting in the next parak, the third parak, it's a good place to break over here because the next daf is not such a long daf. It doesn't have such a big Omid Aleph or Omid Beis, and this way we can start the brand new parak fresh tomorrow. B'ezras Hashem Yisbarach. Hope people enjoy the second parak. Mitzvah Hashem, they will enjoy the third parak and the rest of Shas as we go through it day by day. Have a wonderful day.